Well, for pretty obvious reasons, sometimes this Sunday is referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday. And pardon me if I've told you this story before, but it always sort of comes to mind when I'm thinking about Christ as the Good Shepherd. I have that image to us is so familiar. It almost, we just sort of don't much think about it. You know, think about Jesus as being the Good Shepherd. But in the early church, that was the primary way that image that people used in thinking about Jesus. Like in the catacombs, you'll see these images of Christ the Good Shepherd all over the place. It was one of the places that really caught people's imagination. The fact that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is a good and loving shepherd to us was wonderful to people. It's so kind of familiar to us. Maybe some of that has rubbed off a little bit. I have a very good friend, a young priest at St. Anne's, actually. He's the pastor of St. Anne's in Nashville. And he, one time when he was in seminary, his class was on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And so they were riding a bus from one point to another and through the countryside. And they saw this shepherd, as you will see still to this day in the Holy Land, a shepherd out with his sheep. And as they were sort of watching them, you know, one of the sheep kind of peeled off. And this is like, oh, wow, this is playing out, you know, right in front of our eyes. And the shepherd went off after that sheep. He said, oh, this is incredible. But then the story took a little twist, because at this point, this young priest was thinking, he was a seminarian then, thought, well, I'm going to, you know, I'll see the shepherd is going to go and pick up the sheep and carry him back. And what he started doing, though, actually was he started throwing rocks at the sheep. So, you know, that idea of Christ as the Good Shepherd, the one who lays down his life for his sheep, as this passage says, much less going off and saying, you know, that is something that we really should wonder at. I mean, even just among shepherds, apparently, it's not your typical behavior. But that God should do that, you know, for us is a wonderful thing. And I just want to call attention to a few other things in our readings today. In the first reading, St. Peter, talking to the people on the day of Pentecost, actually, says, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a cripple, namely by what means he was saved, then all of you should know it was in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Again, a sort of sense of wonder at our God, at the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to quote this passage from the Psalms that then is in our responsorial psalm. He, Jesus, is the stone rejected by the builders, which has become the cornerstone. You know, they said, this isn't a good rock, the good stone. But all of a sudden, it becomes the cornerstone. And in the psalm that you hear today, it said, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. It is wonderful. And then in this very short second reading from the first letter of John, he says, see what love the Father has bestowed on us that we may be called children of God, yet so we are. Don't you hear sort of a sense of wonder in that? And so we are. We are children of God. Again, it's another one of those things that we just maybe take for granted. But me, I am a child of God. Really a child of God? Not just a figure of speech, but really a child of God? And an heir of the kingdom of heaven? And so we are. That sense of wonder that St. John puts in there. And then, beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. Again, an invitation to wonder. To wonder at what God is doing for us. And what God has done for us. You know, good old Socrates, you know, that sort of father of Greek philosophy, said, wisdom begins in wonder. Wisdom begins in wonder. When you're jaded and cynical or angry or whatever it might be, you don't have very much wonder, do you? You know, and I'm afraid we've come to a time in our world where there's not a lot of wonder in people's responses to the world. It seems like nowadays everybody wants to figure out what it is they're upset about. It seems that we're encouraged to take offense at everything. We're encouraged to be aggrieved by everything. And you know, there's really no trick to that. If you want to look for something to, you know, be upset about or be mad about or, you know, whatever, that is really not a very, you know, difficult skill to acquire, you know. Being a whiner is not a big, a great accomplishment, you know. But wonder really is. You know, this past week I had kind of a sore foot for two or three or four days. I don't know, really know why. I think I did something to a tendon or whatever. You know, but and in the morning when I got up and put that foot on the floor, I could say, Lord, why do I have this sore foot? You know? But I could also say, Lord, how is it that every single other thing else is working right? You know? Wow, it's still pretty wonderful, isn't it? And you know, my foot's better now, so that's good, you know? And I think maybe when I got off worrying about my sore foot a little bit, maybe I got a little bit of wisdom in being willing to wonder at the goodness of everything. Just kind of like Peter was saying to these people, you folks just saw a miracle. Aren't you wondering? How did this happen? Well, it happened because Jesus Christ did it through us. Me and John over here, very unlikely characters that we are. By the way, I'll recommend something else to you. It's been being recommended to me a lot, and I finally got around to seeing some of it. It was this series called The Chosen. Have you seen that? Watch it. Okay, go download the app, whatever. It'll help you maybe reignite a sense of wonder at Jesus and at the apostles and that sort of this sense of wonder. How wonderful God. You know, you think wisdom, and this is wisdom about all kinds of things. You know, that's how great inventors and scientists work. They start to wonder about things, don't they? You know? They start to wonder, you know, like Benjamin Franklin wondering what lightning was, you know? Okay, I'll go fly a kite and see it. You know, whatever. Oh, it's electricity. That's what it is, okay? I don't really know what that is, but that's what, you know. Wonder is the beginning of wisdom. But it's true that way about supernatural things as well. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If we will just stand back in awe and wonder at what God is doing. The very, very unlikely things that God is doing. This past week we had the Feast of St. Anselm, a great Christian philosopher. And he had this proof of the existence of God. It doesn't convince very many people these days, but I think it's a pretty good one to tell you the truth. And that proof is, you know, we can imagine something greater than which there can't be anything greater, right? And that there must be something like that then, if we can imagine it. That's God. The fulfillment of all of our wonder. The one who sums up the wonder of all the world. And so then we can appreciate these beautiful images like the Good Shepherd. Isn't it indeed wonderful that our God loves us so much that he'll go seek us out when we've gone off and doing our own thing, and not throw rocks at us, actually, but pick us up and bring us home. There are a lot of you who've just had that experience right there in those rooms over there of being found by the Good Shepherd. Isn't it wonderful that God, and we're about to have another wonderful experience here on this altar. The wonder of Jesus Christ really, truly, substantially present with us in his body, in his blood, in his soul, in his divinity. Really here. And so let the wonder of the Christian life lead you in to the wisdom of God.